from questions about Kanye West's conversion to the killing of al-Baghdadi to more breaking news. We've got you covered today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We put our faith, kingdom, the kingdom, our demons are trembling, holy angels demanding, and the Father, we put our faith.
Yes, that's the sound of a Sunday service with Kanye West. Is he really converted? Does he really know the Lord? Is God beginning to use him to speak to millions of Americans? This is Michael Brown. If you're watching, you'll notice that it's audio only today. I am looking out a window from my hotel room in Franklin, Tennessee. I had a wonderful time preaching at Grace Chapel with Pastor Steve Berger. As I said publicly, I respect him as much as any pastor I know in America. Wonderful time preaching at two Sunday morning services on Jezebel's War with America, then talking about Christians and the culture wars last night and taking questions. If you're tuning in today from Grace Chapel, welcome to the broadcast. But with our wonderful portable radio equipment, we can really broadcast from anywhere in the world. Oh, in fact, I'm looking at one of my wires here. A mic wire is a little bit frayed. All right, Matt and Kai, got to fix that when I get back. Just notice that. And tomorrow, be broadcasting on TV with Cornerstone TV, also talking about Jezebel. And then, God willing, doing radio live from Pittsburgh, but will be audio again tomorrow. So everything the same as always. And if you have a question for me, any subject under the sun, anything you want to discuss with me that is relevant to the Line of Fire broadcast, any question, any comment, any criticism, any clarification, call me at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Yes, there is major news with the killing of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi in Syria yesterday. I do have a few things I want to discuss with you about that, so we'll talk about that. I do want to talk seriously about Kanye West, not some gossip column discussion here, but some constructive gospel discussion. I want to have that with you as well. And a few other things we'll discuss. So If you're watching on Facebook and you normally watch on YouTube, hopefully you found your way over. I tweeted out a message. But if you haven't followed what happened, we were given a strike last week on YouTube. We were banned from live streaming or posting something new, uploading something new on YouTube. We had a lot of things previously uploaded we can post, but we can't upload anything new or do a live YouTube stream until next Saturday. And what makes this all the more bizarre, I was on, again, some of you have heard this, but I want to repeat it for those who haven't. I was on the air with Adam Green, who is militantly anti-Zionistic and believes things that to me, I think are conspiracy theories. He finds that highly insulting and says there's data for it, there's support for it, etc. So I'm just being candid. He was the most gracious host you could ask for, fair with me, allowed me to speak freely. We were honest with each other about Noahide laws, about Zionism, and other things. So I absolutely applaud him for being a gracious host. And we have very, very strong differences on a number of issues. So anyway, if you'll go to Know More News, KNOW More News on YouTube, Adam Green's YouTube channel, you'll see he has a lot of videos that are anti-Zionist or believing in a type of a Jewish world takeover or something like that. And you'll see his positions laid out clearly, all right? So we did the video. It's on his channel. It's no problem on his channel. You would think that the YouTube censors, and they do work with the Anti-Defamation League, so they're going to be very sensitive to anti-Semitism and things like that, and they work with other gay activist organizations, so they're sensitive to those kinds. I'm here. Can you hear me all right? Well, that was weird. I don't know what happened. I'm showing that I'm connected and everything's great and we've got our great signal and 100% connection. Suddenly dropped out. So sorry. Don't know where it happened, but anyway, here we are. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, so we then posted the same video. So the video of my interview with Adam Green on his station, his YouTube channel, we posted it on mine. And we got a strike from YouTube. Inappropriate content. Well, hang on. It's the same content. It's the identical content. The exact same content. Nothing changed. Different title. And our team put up, you know, Jewish World Conspiracy and Noahide Laws Debate, something like that. Was it that? Or Jewish World Domination? Was it that heading? That don't know. That's been suggested to us. But it is the same video content. Fine on his channel, and I'm glad. Banned on our channel, and we get a strike. You get two more strikes, then you're banned from YouTube for life. Now look, YouTube is not our life source, okay? It's certainly not our financial source. It's not our life source in terms of reaching the world. By God's grace, we have many, many doors open, but it's a great place to reach people, especially those that don't agree with you. It is a great platform, and we do our best to use it wisely. So anyway, Facebook thankfully hasn't banned this, although when we went to boost an ad for a video where we talk about the prayer of an Ethiopian immigrant in the White House, prayer for Donald Trump, Facebook wouldn't allow us to boost that or advertise it. And it was a political whatever, so we couldn't do it. So you get obstacles either way. But I want to declare this. As Paul said, even though he was in chains, the word of God is not changed. The word of God cannot be bound. So YouTube may shut us down one day, social media may shut us down one day, or other things may shut us down, but you can't shut down the word. You can't shut down truth. And ultimately, that will get out. I don't mean I'm the only one speaking truth and there's just an attack on me. I'm not saying that. But to the extent we are speaking truth, it cannot be bound. All right. Kanye West, what are we to make of his conversion? I have watched from a distance because my whole musical generation was the 60s, early 70s, and I got saved, and I've been separated from, you know, a lot of worldly music, and I know names, things like that, but I just haven't followed things closely. But obviously, Kanye, tremendously influential, obviously got a big voice, especially to a younger generation, black and white and Hispanic across America. Great influence in the African-American community as a hip-hop rapper and so on. And then famous celebrity married to Kim Kardashian. So, you know, you hear about Sunday services and what's he saying, what's he preaching. And so I don't know. You know, I'm looking at it from a distance like everybody else. I don't know anybody that knows him personally. Looking at it from a distance and saying, I hope it's true. I hope it's real. If it is, then he's just another sinner being saved. In other words, not like in heaven, they're going, whoa, Kanye, are you kidding me? No, another lost sinner for whom Jesus died, and someone that'll need shepherding, and someone that'll need wisdom, and someone that needs to be protected so that he's not just instantly the big celebrity believer, because there's a lot of demonic attack that comes your way. And it's different than whatever he's experienced as a frontline celebrity and a frontline hip-hop rapper and a frontline singer and musician and influential voice to many people. It's still different. Demonic attack is still different for a believer. Well, I got some clips from the man that's been mentoring him, a pastor, one of the men mentoring him. And I listened to some of the clips from the messages and read some things. I thought, well, this guy's preaching the gospel. This sounds real. And then I'm reading more about Kanye visiting the guy's church earlier this year, visiting a few times and visiting quietly and not saying anything. And, you know, then getting to talk to the pastor and the pastor to talk to him. And Kanye says something like, no, you don't understand, man. I've been radically saved. I've been radically converted. I thought, well, if that's the case, there's going to be conflict in the home pretty soon. Because obviously his wife, famous for a sex tape years ago and famous as a sex icon today and so on, if he's really saved, there's going to be some conflict. Well, sure enough, there are reports of that now, that he is forbidding his daughter, North, from wearing makeup. She's 6 years old, with this heavy eyeliner and stuff, forbidding her from wearing makeup until she's a teenager. And then telling his wife he has a problem, he has a problem with some, you know, the way she dresses. And the quotes I'm reading, she's like, this is the image you wanted of me, you know, the sexy image. And is God working in her life? I don't know. But Jesus said that when he comes, he says this in Matthew 10, he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, it doesn't mean the sword of war. He doesn't mean the sword rather than the cross. He doesn't mean violence against the enemies of the gospel. No, he means a sword of division. He says so. And he quotes from the end of Micah 7, which interestingly, in developing Jewish tradition, was associated with the Messianic Age. That with the Messianic Age, with the coming of the Messianic Age, there would be great division between families. Fathers separated from sons and mothers from daughters and things like that. And Jesus said that he's come to bring separation because he's going to draw a line of demarcation. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the other side? And by the way, this happens with the gospel in many respects. The coming of the Lord doesn't just make everybody happy. The coming of the Lord doesn't simply bring unity and smiles. It often brings division and separation. And you get saved in, a Muslim family, you come to faith, that's going to bring separation in that family. You get saved in a religious Jewish family, that's going to bring separation. You get saved and maybe everyone else in your family is really militant atheist, there's going to bring division. But then as you conduct yourself in a godly way and pray and demonstrate Jesus, many, many lives will be changed. But there is going to be rejection. There's going to be difference. And I'd be praying right now for that household. And listening to an interview, part of an interview with Kanye West and another man talking about his new album, Jesus is King, and some of the lyrics in there are very strong. And Kanye's saying, look, I got to examine everything. And it's interesting, when you get delivered, you're on your own because, you know, the Christians don't trust you and the world doesn't know you. And he said, I got to look at this interview. Was it self-serving? Did it glorify the Lord? Like, it looks like something's happening there. But wouldn't it be amazing if his whole family got radically saved? Whoa, may it be. We'll be right back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to take some calls shortly. Any question of any subject relevant at all to the Line of Fire, especially those you try to get through on a Thursday and Friday and you can't, give us a call, 866-348-7884. Before we get off of the subject about Kanye, I want to tie this in with Jezebel for a moment. I wrote an article. It's on the stream, stream.org. I was posted early this morning, and it is called From Kanye to Hillary. Jezebel is in the news. And I start the article by saying this. I apologize for making such frequent reference to Jezebel in recent months, but it's not because I'm trying to promote my Jezebel book. Instead, I wrote the book because Jezebel really is big news in America today. All right. let me throw this out for you. And guys, let's get the clip ready with Hillary Clinton. I'm going to tie this back in with Kanye in a moment. Out of his own mouth, out of the Jesus is King album itself. But Representative Elijah Cummings died suddenly last week. Funeral services for him. He was eulogized by President Obama, by President Clinton. And then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, gave eulogy as well. And she compared him to Elijah in the Bible, mentioned that the very name Elijah means that the Lord is my God. Eliyahu, Yahweh is my God. And then she said this. It was a veiled reference, not too veiled because the crowd really liked it, as if she was comparing Donald and Melania Trump to Ahab and Jezebel. Listen to what Hillary Clinton said. All right. Did we not have that clip ready, guys? Right, let me know when you have it queued up, all right? And remember, you're playing it from your end, not from ours today, as I am out here on the road. So just tell me when you've got the clip ready. But here you've got Hillary Clinton bringing up Queen Jezebel. Now, many would find that quite ironic because of the fact that she's been likened to a Jezebel-type figure. Now, look, she is a sinner for whom Jesus died. She is a woman who needs the gospel the same as billions of other people. I do not look at her as, you know, she is the epitome of evil on the earth. If she was, then she'd be literally slaughtering Christians, okay, and beheading people for the faith. But there are so many stances she's taken that I militantly oppose, and I feel that her presidency could have been a real threat to religious liberties and would only further enforce the culture of abortion and so on. So here's what Hillary Clinton had to say, which again to me is quite ironic at the Elijah Cummings funeral. Let's listen.
Like that Old Testament prophet, he stood against corrupt leadership of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel.
Ooh, got it. So she is, in a backhanded way, likening Donald Trump to Ahab. Now, by the way, he's not an Ahab guy. Even if you think he does things that are wrong, Ahab was a leader who, even though he was evil, was incited to do more evil by his wife, and in those ways was kind of a weak guy. And hence, you know, the Hillary Bill thing, and he's Ahab and she's Jezebel. Look, remember, we're talking about people for whom Jesus died, who will give account for their lives one day. But I don't like to label, okay, you are Jezebel. I'm talking about spiritual things here. And Melania Trump, I certainly don't see as a Jezebel. If there was someone I would label Jezebelic, meaning operating under the same demonic powers or with the same demonic goals as Queen Jezebel in the Bible, I'd point to Hillary. But I'm not. I'm saying it's a spiritual power we're dealing with, demonic forces. So she mentions Jezebel, and of course, quite ironically to me. Then Kanye, in his Jesus is King album, which is creating quite a stir, he has a song about Chick-fil-A. It's called Closed on Sunday. Now, I'm not going to rap it or sing it, but I'm just going to read the lyrics to you. He said, what's this got to do with Jezebel? Listen, I didn't make this up, okay? I know God stirred me to write the book. I didn't make this stuff up. Here are the lyrics. Closed on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A. Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies, put the gram away. Get your family, you all hold hands and pray. When you got daughters, always keep them safe. Watch out for vipers, don't let them indoctrinate. Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. You're my number one with the lemonade. Then this, try me and you will see that I ain't playing. Now back up off my family, move your hands. I got my weapons in the spirit's land. Jezebel, don't even stand a chance. Jezebel, don't even stand a chance. You think, Jezebel? Kanye singing about Jezebel? Yeah, I believe there is a recognition, there is a spiritual recognition that that there is a battle going on for our culture, and that there are demonic forces behind it, and the demonic forces attacking Chick-fil-A for having Christian values, and obviously being closed on Sunday, overt Christian values, and then being openly Christian in profession and seeking to have an atmosphere that is kind and friendly and so on, and then gets branded, you know, you're bigoted, you're gay haters, you're homophobes and so on, that Kanye seems to recognize that this larger cultural attack is Jezebelic. And I say he is 100% right. Now, New York Times article just a few days ago comes out last week, asks the question, when did everyone become a witch? And it says, we have reached peak witch. This is the New York Times. Well, it doesn't make it right because New York Times said, I don't mean that the New York Times is infallible. I'm saying here's a secular newspaper with a major article. When did everyone become a witch? We've reached peak witch. Friends, I'm telling you this for a reason. The same demonic powers that operated through Queen Jezebel. So you have the radical militant feminism, the Shout Your Abortion movement. I say that because of idolatry being associated with baby killing in the ancient world. The seductive spirit, sexual immorality, the silencing of the prophets, the emasculating of men. All this is Jezebelic. And Jesus addresses it in the church of Thyatira in Revelation 2, that there's a woman that calls herself Jezebel or calls herself a prophetess. He calls Jezebel. Was that her real name or what he called her? But she's associated with sexual immorality, idolatry, and false prophetic messages. There's something to this. I was just sent a private note, but I think it's a fabulous insight. A fabulous insight. In 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, we read of the conflict between Jehu and Jezebel. he's king of Israel, the new king. He's just killed the old king and so on. And now he's declaring war on the household of Ahab. Jezebel is still alive. She paints her face. She's still a seductress, you know, fixes her hair. She's going to look a certain way. And then, here's what happens. And yeah, guys, let's get clip number 5 ready. And after this, we will go to the phone. So thanks for being patient. All right, so here's what happens. Jehu confronts Jezebel. She's still going to be a seductress, and she still talks down to him in a taunting way. That doesn't move him. And he says, who's on my side? And she's up in a window. Two or three eunuchs look down. And he then says, throw her down. And they throw Jezebel down, and she dies. All right, now I'm not talking about a person. We're not hurting people. Don't go out. You're Jezebel. Let me say that again. Don't do that. It's destructive. Recognize the demonic powers that are at work. That's where our battle lies. But check this out. It is the castrated males. It is the castrated males. They are the ones who end up throwing Jezebel down. The eunuchs, the ones who had been emasculated, they are the ones who throw her down. And I close out my Jezebel book saying this must happen in our society. This must happen in our nation. The castrated males must arise and throw Jezebel down. Listen. One of the great treasures of America is the African-American church. And for whatever reason, demographically, African-Americans are more Christian than the population as a whole, more church-going than the population as a whole, and more spiritually oriented in terms of, you know, what demographics would say and polls would say than the population as a whole. And I believe for years there must be a tremendous divine plan for the African-American church to see how the devil has tried to destroy through slavery and segregation and now abortion and other means and the fatherless homes, which means that many of the men have been emasculated. Wouldn't this be the way? And this is not my insight. This was shared with me by a colleague. Wouldn't this be an amazing way to see those who've been emasculated rise up and cast Jezebel down? All right, listen to what Kanye says in this interview. I'll get the details as to who he was being interviewed with, almost a minute long. But listen to what he has to say, because people, you know, don't want to hear him speak politically and try to brand him a certain way and make race a big issue. Listen to what he had to say.
Are you afraid of losing your audience? Yay.
I told you I'm only afraid of God. I'm only afraid of my daddy, God. Mm-hmm. I done been 15 years. I'm telling you, God is showing that you can have your own thoughts, bro. I've been canceled before there was cancel culture. Who told you that my career would be over? The same people that are telling you that you can't have a right to say who you will vote for, those people will be soon to take Jesus out to school. Those people will be soon to remove Jesus, period, from America, which is the Bible Belt. Those people will be soon. Man, come on, man. I ain't finna go Alex Jones level on y'all, man. Come on, man. What y'all want? Like, wake up. Wake up, Mr. West. Wake up, culture. Wake up. Everybody think they so woke, but they following the rules of what woke's supposed to be. Hip-hop ain't never been about following rules.
So here's what's interesting. You have someone who's been breaking the rules, but in the flesh, now saying, how much more are you going to break the rules in obedience to God? Really pray for him. Again, he has a unique platform, a unique following, and there is a younger generation that is very lost and very confused and looking for identity, and here's someone that can challenge people and point them to Jesus. So really pray for him. The devil is certainly not unaware of this. An enemy would love to destroy his life, destroy his testimony, or just get him to sell out, just like a popular phrase. Let's pray that that doesn't happen. Let's pray that the roots go even deeper. Let's pray that God will surround him with wise and godly leaders, especially men who can really be fathers to him and protect him from being used by anybody, be it the President of the United States or be it...
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, please give me your best year. Michael Brown coming your way live from Franklin, Tennessee. Audio only, so there's no video feed of the broadcast. 866-348-7884. Please give me your best year when I say this from the heart. I am absolutely committed to the vision of a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. I am absolutely committed to being your voice. Whatever that takes, whatever that means, I believe it's time to shake the nation. Just received reports of a major church, fine mega church with great reputation, tremendous integrity, many, many years in the community, not known for emotionalism or hype. And a colleague of mine passed on texts that were sent from this pastor. I'm not talking about it more specifically now or giving you details just because I haven't been able to experience what's happening myself. But he's blown away by what's been going on for 4 months now, as they called for a solemn assembly on a Monday night prayer meeting and have had the building packed out on Monday nights and people crying out to God, people getting saved and filled with the Spirit. And I hear a report here and a report there and a report. There's something's going on. There's a stirring. And the only hope for America, friends, is awakening in the church that will lead to a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. In other words, Jesus changes us and we live differently. And then others get saved and they live differently. And then the light begins to shine and it pushes darkness back. And then we overcome hatred with love and we overcome lies with truth and we overcome the power of the flesh with the power of the Spirit. That's how it's done. We overcome human anger and violence and all of that with a gospel-based transformational message. That's how it must happen, my friends. And I believe it will. I believe we're going to see it. In the natural, it seems ridiculous and impossible. And it seems like we're going downhill and the gospel is losing in America and America's post-Christian and our best days are behind us. That's true, but God. And I believe he's given me a promise and many a promise that he's going to do something, not because of patriotism, but because he loves people. Because America can have a potential great influence or potential terrible influence on the world around us. And I'm committed to being your voice, tackling the controversies, and hopefully doing it in a way that's scripture-based and that glorifies Jesus and that's full of the Spirit. We'll take the flack. We'll take the hits. But I'm made for that. I'm made to be a lightning rod. You have little idea what attack comes our way every single day in the most ridiculous and monstrous ways, but I'm made for that, and I have a team made for that, and we have amazing intercessors. I am indebted to them, praying in America, praying locally, praying around the world, and that's where we're able to stand. But believe God with us for the amplification of our voice. I burn to see these broadcasts blanketing America from coast to coast, from north to south, so that we can proclaim the truth of God no matter what. Would you pray for us? And if you want to partner with us, the easiest thing is just go to Patreon, patreon.com/AskDr. Brown. patreon.com/AskDr. Brown. Just $10 or more per month, you become a Patreon partner. You get 2 bonus videos every single week, and you have the joy of knowing that you're helping us reach the nation and the world. Or you can become a torchbearer, $30 or more per month, so $1 or more per day, by going to AskDrBrown.org, click on Donate, and then many, many amazing benefits come your way every single month as a torchbearer. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to Alan in Salisbury, North Carolina. Thanks so much for holding, and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call, and amen to everything you just said. I appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate your emphasis.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question about Bible prophecy. I'm just curious as to your thoughts regarding Gog and Magog and the recent developments between Syria and Turkey and Russia. I'm just going to hang up and let you, I can hear you on the radio, and let you tell me what your thoughts are on that. All right?
Sure thing. You got it. All right. So first, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. As best as I can tell, in context, that is speaking about a war that will take place at the end of this age. So it speaks of the restoration of the Jewish people back to land, the first reference being the return from Babylon in Ezekiel 36. But then we see something even greater than that in Ezekiel 36 and 37, the dry bones living. So this to me is a graphic picture of the return of the Jewish people back to the land out of the ashes of the Holocaust, out of the graves of the Holocaust, the dead bones of the Jewish people scattered around the world. Now God restoring the nation of Israel. And then with that, a spiritual restoration that will come. First the natural, then the spiritual. So God beginning to open our hearts more and more and more to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. So this happens now more and more in the land, and then there'll be a final conflict. And in this final conflict, there'll be a great battle attempting to wipe out the people of Israel. And in the midst of it, God will then move miraculously and rescue and deliver with the return of the Messiah. So that's how I understand it. I understand it in conjunction with, say, Zechariah 12 and Zechariah 14 as a final end of the world war. Now, does the Bible speak of the Prince of Rosh, and therefore Russia, or some purported reference to that? Or does it speak of chief prince? Because Rosh just normally means head, chief, etc. So if you look, for example, in King James, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tuval. New King James, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tuval. NASB, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tuval. ESV, the chief prince, and then the same thing, NIV, chief prince, NET, chief prince, TLV, chief prince, CSB, chief prince, let's see, New Jewish Publication Society, chief prince. So I don't think that this is a specific reference to Rosh as if Russia, even if that's what it actually meant. I don't see that. I believe, as most of these renderings have, and as the King James had, that chief prince is more accurate. Will Russia be involved? We know now that Russia is a much bigger player in Syria. That's been since the Obama presidency, that Russia has been a much bigger player in the Middle East. And now with the recent developments with President Trump and trying to get our troops out, even with taking down al-Baghdadi, you could well argue that Russia is much more of a king now in the Middle East and is going to have a greater influence than America. How is that going to play out with Israel? This could be part. It's possible that these things are preparing the way for a war against Israel that will involve Russia. Not specifically prophesied by name in Ezekiel 38, but by activity in terms of what it's doing today. I would just say we have to be really cautious with that. We have to be really cautious because I remember hearing all the prophecies have come together, you know, in the early 70s when I was saved, and Hal Lindsey's book, Late Great Planet Earth, and that was 60, what, his book came out like 68? You know, it's going on, what is it? How many years ago now, right? It's 51 years ago. And we all expected things going to happen a long time ago. So we don't know specifically how things will unfold, but it could be something like this with Russia and a coalition of nations that ultimately come against Israel. That well could be. Revelation 20 makes a spiritual reference to Gog and Magog as something after the millennial kingdom, but I see that as a spiritual reference, not a literal interpretation. Thank you for the question. 866-34-TRUTH. Is this our old friend Seiko from Houston, man? Haven't talked to you in ages, buddy.
Yeah, brother. How are you doing? Good to speak to you again, man. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm doing great. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to comment about the Kanye West situation and just to, you know, share my thoughts and perspective and just, you know, let you know that you're definitely spot on with what you're saying so far about him. I do believe that his conversion is genuine. At first, Dr. Brown, I did not, because at first I didn't see anything at the time. This is prior to the Big Boy interview that you had just played a clip of. This is prior to him being on other interviews, sharing his story. And so I can understand the hesitancy of some, and some even of the skepticism, you know, because of his past. But for me, I know that I was praying and asking for the Lord to give, you know, evidences of his conversion. And meaning that was that, you know, like with Paul, when Paul was converted, you know, the disciples were hesitant, I believe in Acts 9, verses 26 on and following. They were hesitant to receive him as a genuine follower of Christ. It took Barnabas to come alongside him and to basically, you know, vouch for him and say, hey, no, this dude is the real deal, man. And even with Ananias was kind of hesitant when Jesus told him to go to Saul. He said, "Look, Lord, I've heard a lot of stuff about this man. We, you know, we didn't heard his, you know, we didn't saw his videos. We didn't went to his, heard his, about his concerts. You know, I'm just paraphrasing about Kanye." And so, you know, I believe that for me, I was praying and asking, like, Lord, who, you know, bring a Barnabas in his life to vouch for this man's conversion. So now we have Pastor Adam Tyson, you know, somebody that nobody knew. I didn't know anything about Adam Tyson, but God allowed him to come alongside this brother and to now present the gospel. And if you saw in the interview, Dr. Brown, he was even giving a testimony about how he was doing his church services, and his dad had to tell him, like, look, can't have church without the word. And so he wasn't pushing back on that. He said, okay, you know what? We'll bring the word. And so now we have the gospel being preached at these locations and even some of these places, Dr. Brown, where the gospel has not been preached. So it's like, I guess my encouragement to all of us who may be, you know, who have been skeptical, or some of us who still may be skeptical, what more do we need? I mean, God has been answering the prayers of those who've been asking, like, Lord, you know, if this brother is genuine, then bring proof of that. And he's a baby as well, Dr. Brown. You know, if you had kids like I have, you know, yeah, babies are not going to mature overnight, but we're looking for instant maturity, but we didn't expect it of ourselves. So yep. I believe some grace and patience and prayer and time gives evidence and shows some things. But right now, this man has confessed. He's repented. He's even denounced his old way of living. What more do we need?
Yeah, and the other thing is, to what benefit? Does he think that all the people that loved his secular, worldly, profanity-filled rap, you know, and sexual images and all that, that they're all going to say, oh, no, we prefer the gospel image? Does he think that Hollywood and the celebrity elite are going to say, oh, we love this guy preaching holiness? You know, I don't think so. So, yeah, I the more I look at it, the more it rings genuine. Now with conflict within the family, all the more. Hey, let me ask you this question, and we may have to finish this on the other side of the break, but I'll throw this out, and then we'll come back quickly on the other side of the break. You yourself as an African-American pastor, I want your take on what I shared, the thought about Black American Christian men rising up and taking their authority. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, that is from Sunday Service with Kanye West. I'm talking to Pastor Seiko in Houston. Been some time since we've chatted. But do you agree with my comments a colleague shared with me? I shared them on the air. Or do you disagree with the idea of the African-American church really being a great treasure in America and the enemy in so many ways has sought to oppress, keep down, destroy, but that a key to national awakening, revival, and casting down this demonic Jezebel spirit is for Black Christian men to stand up and help lead the way. How do you feel about that?
I believe you're spot on, Doc. And I'll just add even more so. All you can do is check the facts. Number one, in the church, yeah, the Black church, quote unquote, is definitely important, especially within our communities. And this is why Satan is attacking the homes from within. Anytime you have the majority of the Black households, where 75% of most households, if not more, are without men, without fathers in the home, you look at society, you look at our Black communities, and you see how children are basically being raised without a father. You look at the church, look at how the churches are being raised. You see homosexuality is on the rise. You see how even with the agenda, it now is being cool to be gay. I have a brother whose name is Kirk Kennedy. He has a song called "Gay Is the New Black." May want to play that track one day. But "Gay Is the New Black," and he talks about the sinister plot of how the enemy has now taken what the LGBT is doing and making them on par with being Black. And so you have all of these things going on now. Even in our societies, you have men dressing up like women. trying to matter of fact, a guy named Pharrell. He's a rapper. He's on the GQ magazine, Dr. Brown, and he's dressed in a starter dress, talking about the new masculinity. If we don't see how the black family, the black church, the black community is being attacked, even from within the church. What we have now, we have the black Hebrew Israelite movement, coming and saying that the Christianity that we have is a white man's Christianity, because unfortunately, our white brothers and sisters, when they put pictures up of the patriarchs, they put pictures up of our church heroes of the faith, is mostly in a European garb and in a European portrait. So, for me, as almost a 50-year-old man, Dr. Brown, I had to basically wash my mind of thinking that Jesus was white. You feel what I'm saying? So,
I understand. Listen. Professor Bernard Starr has pointed out that, for example, some of the anti-Semitic imagery of medieval or classic Renaissance European paintings, artwork, where you'll have the Jews, the rabbis, and they're these hook-nosed kind of demonic-looking people, and then this beautiful European Caucasian Jesus standing out. Right, so again, the color of his skin is utterly immaterial in terms of the plan of God and salvation, but the thing of identification, to try to identify in a certain way and therefore say it's irrelevant. And maybe you're like me, you're a Caucasian follower of Jesus and you're listening to this, you're thinking, man, what's that guy talking about? Well, would you relate if Jesus, all the pictures, the images of Jesus were black and Paul was black and Moses and Isaiah were black? Would you, and the churches were mainly led by blacks. How would you feel? Just think these things through. But listen, I've got to move on to something else, but thank you for weighing in a few short minutes. You said a whole lot. We're going to keep chewing on this. We're going to keep talking about this. And, I can, in less than 5 seconds, refute the idea that gay is the new black. And all I have to do is ask a black man or woman, so when did you come out as black? Ah, a little bit different. Doesn't apply. All right, keep up the good work, man, and we will check out some of those references you gave. God bless you, buddy.
God bless you. You too. God bless you.
All right. And again, take away from all this, one, pray for Kanye. Pray for him to be stable and strong in the Lord, rooted in the Lord, surrounded by people who will keep his best spiritual interest in mind as opposed to how they can use him. And then pray for the radical conversion of his whole family. Because there's going to be pressure there. There's going to be pressure. There's going to be resistance and a compromised Christianity and so on. And then pray for God's purposes for the African-American church. There's no people, Native Americans have been terribly oppressed and terribly cut down and have so much against them. We talked about that some last week. You talk about the systematic attack on black Americans, from slavery to segregation to the attack on the family to other things in ongoing ways. Pray, because God has purpose. I felt this for years and years and years. It's been so clear to me, just like the attack on young people and the unborn. When Satan's trying to wipe out a whole generation, he fears what that generation can do. So pray. Thank you. Appreciate you weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, look, in A Queer Thing Happened to America, which came out in 2011 and was worked on and off over a 6-year period leading up to it, I have a whole detailed chapter on why gay is not the new black. I mean, detail. But this has been talked about for years. Then it went from that to the new black to trans is the new black. And the whole idea that gay is the new black, aside from the fact, as I just mentioned, that you don't come out as black, but you come out as gay. And that while same-sex attraction may be deep-rooted, it is not innate and immutable like skin color. And there is no behavior associated with skin color. In other words, there is a behavior, so to say, with same-sex desire, namely same-sex romantic attraction, same-sex sexual interest, and things like that. There's no behavior associated with skin color. That breaks down. And then you can't compare the suffering and oppression of gay Americans in history, even though it's been intense at different times. You can't compare that to the suffering of black Americans in history. It's an insult. And I know, look, I'm fully aware that there are men and women who are on the front lines of the civil rights movement, black Americans, who are now on the front lines of LGBT activism and things like that. And to them, hey, it's the next cause. But I know others, like Reverend Bill Owen and others, who absolutely resent that and say, you don't get to follow on the heels of what we did or ride on our shoulders after what we did. These are, don't compare the two. All right. Here's what I want to say briefly about the killing of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And I'm glad that we got him. It's a shame that he didn't repent from what we know before he died. But he got what was coming to him. And a pastor was just sharing with me some of the details from what we understand, if accurate, when he blew himself up, he blew up his body, blew himself up with three children, apparently. But his head was preserved, which is how they were able to make such quick identification. So with all those he beheaded, it's a further irony to it. But a few lessons for us. There still is good and evil in the world. And yes, no nation is perfect. No person is perfect. No nation is fully righteous. No individual outside of Jesus is fully righteous. And yet there is good and evil. And evil must be punished. And God does give the government the sword to use. Romans 13. It is a righteous use of the sword to punish those who do evil. That's one thing. A second thing is that human beings outside of God's mercy are capable of every kind of atrocity. Be it the ISIS murderers doing what they did. I mean, some of the most inhuman, not just inhumane, but inhuman acts of any group in history. Some of what they carried out, burning people alive and making a spectacle out of it, beheading them, you know, in front of the camera. Just horrific, except having little children engaging in these things. Sickening, sickening brutality. And yet, almost every generation, there have been people committing monstrous things. Oh, in secret all the time. But on a large scale, be it atrocities that were committed in the war between China and Japan, or the atrocities of the Holocaust, or the atrocities of past massacres, or individuals who were serial killers and rapists and torture people. In other words, human beings are capable of extraordinary evil. And even though Satan may be urging people on and inciting them to evil, the fact, whoa, what is this? Something just popped up on my phone. Where in the world did that come from on my phone? Got it on silent. Who in the world gave my phone the right to do that? Another intrusion. Wow. In case you're wondering where that came from, I was wondering also. But all that to say, human beings, you say, well, it's just Islam. Hey, it's not just Islam, because atheists have done things, and professing Christians have done things, and Jews have done things, and a wide range of people have done things, committed atrocities. Human beings can stoop to unbelievable evil. It is a further proof to me of the fallen nature of human beings, the further proof of Satan inciting people on, and a further recognition that we need a redeemer. That you say, yeah, but human beings can commit great acts of heroism and self-sacrifice out of love for others. Yes, absolutely. I don't question that for a moment. But as a race, if you look overall, if there was not restraint, if there were not laws, you know, when you have a blackout and suddenly the looting starts, or people would do all kinds of things. People would be committing adultery a whole lot more if not for fear of being caught. People would be stealing and robbing a whole lot more if not for fear of being caught. People would be engaging in all kinds of unclean acts in public if not for fear of consequences to those things. Human nature, outside of God's grace, is capable of horrific things. When I teach about sexual immorality, one of the first things I teach is it can happen to you. It can happen to anyone. People do wrong things, which is why we run to the Lord and ask for cleansing and washing and mercy and a changed heart. And we know that He can truly transform. And thank God there are those who were radical Muslim terrorists in the past who are now followers of Jesus, be it in jail or elsewhere. They're glorifying Him. All right, we'll be back with you live from Pittsburgh tomorrow. Thanks for being part of today's show.